Well, thank the Lord for being here today, and thank the Lord for the cross. We've sung a lot about it this morning, and we're very thankful that, as we said, Jesus went a little farther, all the way to Calvary. And I want to, as we move into the message, and I want us to really carry that thought with us of what Jesus did, and ask the Lord for the same heart, because of what Jesus did, it says he's entered into his glory. He's received his reward. He's seated on the right hand of the Lord. All right? So I want to go a little farther myself. I want to follow Jesus in the path he laid down for me. And because I want my reward. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for reminding us of the cross this morning, dear Jesus. Lord, it's obvious, I believe, from the songs that have been sung and that what has gone on to this point in the service, dear Jesus, that you want us to consider with a solemnity your cross that you went to for us, that it wasn't a joyful moment. It was a moment of sacrifice that you made for us, and we thank you for that this morning. Now, Lord, as we open your word, we're asking that you, by your Spirit, you, the resurrected Savior, by your Spirit, would guide and direct in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, like we said, we've talked about the cross. We've sung about the cross this morning. Well, it's time to talk about a risen Savior. In fact, today, if I put a title, I guess I would say it's about they talked with a risen Savior. And I don't want us to pass the title without considering what that means. There was people who spent the time that Jesus was here on earth before his crucifixion. There were his disciples and others that walked with him and talked with him, and there are many blessings from that. But there are people who talked on this earth with the risen Savior. And things happened in their life. And I want us to look at it a little bit this morning. And then ultimately what we're wanting to get to today is, if this happened for them, what can happen for me if I talk with the risen Savior in my life? So let's look at some of these stories here. The first one we read a little in the adult Sunday school class, but let's go back to it here in John 20 and the 11th verse. And it's speaking here, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." And let's carry up Mary's emotion with us through as we read this. This is one of the stories that touches me probably the most. So I don't know if Mary's feeling what I think she was feeling, but you know, I feel like I can identify with Mary here. And as she looks into the sepulchre and she's weeping. And why is she weeping? Because she knows he was dead. She had one thing left to do that she wanted to do for him, and now he's gone and she can't figure out where he is, and even this has been stolen from her. And so there's a lot of sorrow that she's having here. She's not weeping for joy in this moment, I don't believe at all from reading the story. And so she looks into the sepulchre and she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And we have here a recounting of this where they gave her a chance to respond. And so she responded and she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." and she turned herself in. There's just this element through some of these stories where people were looking right at Jesus and didn't realize it until he opened their eyes. And when he said Mary, her eyes, it seems, were open, and she turned herself, or it was through her ear, somehow she realized who this was. And she said unto him, Rabboni, Rabbani, which is to say, Master. And so, here as we look at Mary, and she's in sorrow, great sorrow, and she doesn't know where Jesus is. And even as Jesus speaks to her, she remains in her sorrow. But there's the moment where she comes to that she realizes that this is Jesus. It's such an important thing I want us to carry with us this morning. Don't give up. Keep looking for him. Keep searching for him. At some point, if you search for Jesus, you will find him. And when you do, there is something that can happen in you that can't happen any other way. This case, Mary was filled with sorrow. And the minute her eyes were open and she realized it was Jesus, and she was talking with a risen Savior. All we see her say is Rabbani, which is to say Master. But does anybody doubt the change in her emotion at this moment that happened when she realized she was speaking to a risen Savior? You know, we carry things through life. And I don't know how to say this. Lord, help me. And if he doesn't help me, help you to get the message. Help us to get the message this morning. We carry things, and we're all around Jesus. And he's sitting here talking to us. And, you know, if we keep looking for him in those times, we're going to find him. And when we find him, we're going to find the change we need concerning that thing. You know, there's the change that happens when we come to him and we're saved, but there's all these moments in our life that we're walking through, and life kind of mires us down a little bit. And we kind of, okay, where are you, Lord? What I had of you was right here, and now it's not where I'm looking for it. I came to do this. And what do we do in those moments when we feel like the Lord has been removed from our life, so to speak? That's kind of what had happened to her. What she had left of Jesus was kind of removed from her life, it seemed, although he was right there in the garden with her. But in her eyes, that's what had happened. And Mary could have walked away in hopelessness and despair. And would she have seen Jesus? Would there have been a change? I don't think so. I think there's a message right here that Mary was not going to leave until she found out what happened. Where is Jesus? I thought he was right here, but where is he? And so she was sticking it out. And even after he talked to her, he still didn't open her eyes until that one moment when she displayed a determination to know what had happened to her Lord and where he was. And then he opened her eyes and she saw he was right here. He's been standing here beside me in this space, however close they were, however far apart they were. He was where she could see him. But it took her being determined in the midst of her sorrow, not just to walk off in despair and hopelessness, but to continue to just seek for her Lord. And she found him, and there was a change. I know all it says here is Rabboni, Master, but I'm telling you, I believe that's a display of the change in her emotion that happened in that moment, and that the Lord met her need. Well, we also have a story over here in Luke, the 24th chapter. And turn over there and read this. Luke 24, and we got a little bit of reading here. We read some of it early, but I want to go back through this. It says in the 13th verse, it says, Behold, two of them. Now, this is speaking of two who had followed Jesus, obviously. It says, They went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. So, they basically had a little bit of a walk here, okay? And as they went, they were talking together of these things which had happened. So they had a conglomeration of occurrences and facts in their minds. And they were talking with each other. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. very specifically comes out and says this was an act of God, that he was reserving their vision. They couldn't quite yet see that Jesus was right beside them. What are all these occurrences they're talking about? They're fishing to explain it, but we know what they were. The Lord was with them, and now it appeared he had left them. They couldn't determine where he was. And so many things had happened that weren't working out quite the way they expected them to. And so there's a lot of facts and incidences in their minds that they were trying to figure out. There's some intellectual questions. There were some questions of faith. There were questions that they had throughout in their minds that they were talking about and reasoning. And so as they did this, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And he said unto them, What is this you're talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger? Don't you have questions too? I mean, haven't you seen what just happened? And we're wondering about all this. And he said, Well, what things? The Lord knew what things. How many times is God walking right beside us and going, How bad do you want this? Do you want the changes I can bring into your life? Do you want... The Lord said life more abundant. He said joy unspeakable. He said all these things that are promises to us. Now, if you want to think that the Lord is a liar, you can believe that lie from Satan. But the Word teaches us and life teaches us when we put our life in his hands that God is not a liar. And the things he has promised, he has promised. But I don't want to miss out on anything. And there's an element here that's showing me that the Lord's right there many of those times when I feel like I'm having struggles with those things, questions in my mind, that he's right there. But there's an element he's wanting to see. What do you want more? Do you want to just come up with your own answers and just figure it and just walk on through life? Or do you want the truth? Do you want to know what it's really about? You don't want to know why it really happened. That's what we're going to see here, is that Jesus relates to them why it really happened. And really, he only reminded them of things they knew. But it was a choice they made to walk and to think and to continue to pursue this. And so he says, he said, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty indeed, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him, crucified him. But we thought that it would have been him that redeemed Israel. We were thinking he was going to redeem Israel. Isn't that what the Christ came for? And now he's gone. Things didn't happen like we really thought he was the Christ, but if he was the Christ, he should have redeemed Israel. And yet now he's gone, and that's not what's happened. The problem was they didn't really understand what it meant for Christ to redeem Israel and who Israel really was going to be. But yet they didn't, all these things that didn't work out quite right, they didn't let it make them just go off in their own, well, it was just nothing. They were searching. And so they said, we trusted have been him which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman hath said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, and don't stay in the sequence of the timeline here of the way things are happening. And think about your reactions that you possibly could have. Already you could have just put everything aside and walked off in disgust, and it must not have been anything to it. But yet there were things he said. There were things he did. But you still could just leave it. That's not what they did. They were walking. And as they chose to walk and talk about these things, Jesus drew near, but they still didn't see him. All right? And so now they've explained to him what happened. And we can even kind of wonder why things weren't clicking yet, but they weren't clicking for him. And so then Jesus, as they walk, says unto them, O fools, what are you going to do when Jesus looks at you and say, O fool, and slow of heart to believe? What could have they done in this? What would be one of the tendencies in this moment? The Bible says we have to humble ourselves to walk with the Lord. We could react, but they were being. The Lord told them he was going to go to the grave. He told them all this was going to happen. And the Bible, it was all there. And the Lord was simply putting out, "Oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He's saying, look, look and see what has happened. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And so then he began at Moses. And it strikes me in saying that, that they stayed right there. Whatever they felt about the way the Lord just spoke to them, they were like, we want to know. We want to know what just happened. It didn't work out like we thought it would. So I want to know what's going on. And so he began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded of them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. And you know what they did? This man that just spoke that way to them upbraided them for the unbelief. They constrained him and said, abide with us. Yeah, we might not like the way you, but you know what? There's something about what you're saying. They said a little bit later, didn't it burn within us? Didn't it burn? Do you recognize when there's something greater calling to you than your own feelings, your own pride, your own way you're going to deal with circumstances? Do you recognize something deeper speaking to you? You know, I haven't always lived for the Lord, but I remember times when I wasn't, that there were things burning deeper, and I was like, there's something different. There's something here, and I didn't know what it was. And foolishly, I walked away from it so many times. Thank God he had mercy that it came to a point where I was like, I don't really know. I still don't, but I want whatever these other people have that have had this question answered in their life. I want it. So I'm going to go through with this. All right? And so there was something burning in them. They're like, whatever he just said to us, however he just spoke to us, we want to know what this is about. And so they invited him in. And they constrained him, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They had choices there. But they were determined to see what this was about, this burning inside of them. And there came a point as they pursued it where God opened their eyes and they saw Jesus for who he was. You know what? If you just leave it on the shelf, you're going to be walking so close to Christ and never really see him for who he is. If you just leave it on the shelf, why do we leave it on the shelf? What am I talking about? Those burnings, but yet, you know what? I'd rather just leave it alone and just keep on going with my life, however it is I'm going with my life. I'd rather just live the day by day. I'd rather, you know, my needs are met in this world and that, you know, that's fine. As long as that happens, then I'm just going to leave these things on the shelf. Or are we going to pick them up and pursue them? Because there are answers waiting for us. There's help. However, as you look at the story and you see what was happening, there's that same thing waiting for us. But we're going to have to pick it off the shelf and talk with this risen Savior. Invite him in and make room for him as long as he will stay. It says it's when their eyes were opened, then he disappeared out of their sight. But you know what? They had what they needed at that time. They didn't wonder where Jesus was anymore. I don't believe they walked back. In fact, if we follow this story, we know they didn't walk back wondering where Christ was. They knew they had spoken with the risen Savior. You know what? You can get to that point in your life too. With all your questions, with all your wonderings, but you have to take it off the shelf and listen to the burning in your heart. Pursue the Lord. Let him show you. Let him open your eyes. And he will. There will come a moment in all your situations and all the needs we have where the Lord will open your eyes to see what you need to see to know, yep, there's the Lord. There he is in my life. We make the choice to allow that to happen. In John, the 20th chapter, go back over to where we were reading a minute ago. John 20 and 24. And this is where the disciples were up and assembled together, and Jesus appeared in the room with them. And of course, we know the story how Thomas had said he would not believe unless he saw Jesus for himself. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know, if that's what it took for all of us to believe, where would we be? If that's what it took for things to click, for us to get a hold of it, if we had to physically touch Jesus in order for these things to click for us, where would we be? That's not the way. Obviously, we would be in a heap of trouble, all right? But this is what Thomas said, and so let's look at what happened. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Two things. Thomas came back. He was still there. He didn't walk off and say, "Everybody else got to see Jesus and I didn't. That wasn't even fair. If that really happened, that wasn't fair. I'm leaving." Am I crazy? Or is that not how we react sometimes to situations? Everybody else is getting the blessing and I'm stuck in this situation. Why am I the one that didn't get to see it? He knew I was not there, and he chose to come in that time. Why did it? The Lord chose to do it this way, and he left me out. Left me out. So I'm done. I'm not going to be there. Well, Thomas said some things wrong, but that wasn't one of them. When the next week came around, there was Thomas right there in the midst. There was some kind of determination in him to stay with this thing. And you know what happened? The Lord came. All right? And do you notice something? Now, maybe there was something just left out of the word, but we don't have anywhere where it records that Thomas actually went up and stuck his hand in the side. Not that I'm aware of. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of anywhere it's recorded that way. And it's definitely not recorded that way here. All right? He knew. He knew in that moment this was Jesus. He was there. It didn't take those things. You know, if you'll just stick with it, the Lord will reveal himself to you in time. And you know what the doubt you're struggling with? The doubt and the feelings of being the one left out sometimes. I don't know. I feel like those are all answered right here in this moment for Thomas. And it was all answered. His doubt turned to faith. Thomas was faithful. We know that he suffered a martyr's death. He went through with this thing, y'all. Absolutely. But he could have walked away in that moment and missed it. The Lord will meet you. And there's an element to the Lord seeking us. But he's not going to chase you down. He will call and he will see if you will come. Will you come? You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to come full of faith even. Thomas didn't come full of faith. He came, he had doubts about what had happened. Everybody else had it settled. Thomas didn't. But he kept coming. And the Lord met him when he kept coming. You know, I know it's popular to think about the Lord chasing us down wherever we go in life. There's an element of the Lord seeking, but he doesn't chase us down. If we're determined not to pay attention to it, to just walk away with our feelings, with our fears, with our emotions, with our doubts, Lord's right here. He was standing right there in all these situations all the time. He was all around. But it took these people saying, "You know what? I know he's somewhere around here, and I'm not going to give up." And the Lord's faithful to come and let them know they were speaking with the risen Savior. And when they did, their questions were answered, their emotions were changed, their doubts were turned to faith. That's exactly what, you know, in fact, the Lord issued an invitation to us in Revelations. Revelations 3. Revelations 3 and 20 says, Jesus speaking, this is, I think there's a significance here to this, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe sometimes the Lord says, no, I just threw that in there at that point because that's when I determined to say it. But I believe it's a significance. This is the very end of him speaking to the seven churches. And there's a part of speaking to the seven churches. Remember the word, the number seven, and what it means in the Lord when he uses that, that this is a completeness. This is basically the Lord speaking to all of us. Wherever we come from, those of us who follow Christ, the Lord speaking to us. And in the end of it all, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. That's what we're talking about this morning. The Lord came to the house and he knocked. He came to those two people who were walking down that road and walked beside them for a way. He stood beside Mary Magdalene in the garden. The Lord is not, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He'll come. But there's an element where you're going to have a heart turned to him and open the door. It's not hard. He's right where you are. Wherever you are in life, he's there. But you're going to have to take it off the shelf. You're going to have to open the door to the Lord. If you do, then his promise is he will come and he will sup with you. And what the Lord means by that is exactly what he did for all these people. We could say he supped with each one of them because he came to the door and they opened it because he's a risen Savior. He's not dead in some tomb somewhere. This is not just a doctrine. This is not just words on the paper. Right now, as we speak today, the Lord is alive. Yes, we know it. Yes. We have in variable truth. For many others, this was spoken, who spoke with him. Dad said about 500 people who spoke with him. We know that he's not laying in a grave. That he's alive and well and sits on the right hand of the Lord. And he is walking beside you in the midst of whatever you're going through. And maybe you're in a time where you can't see. You thought he was right here and somehow you can't see him. But he's there. Don't throw it away. Don't leave it on the shelf. Pick it up and continue to pursue him. And know with assurance in your heart that this risen Savior will speak with you. And is speaking with you most likely already if you're given any attention to him. He's speaking to you. And there'll come a time where he opens your eyes and you'll see it clearly, what you need to go on. So be encouraged to keep on. We have a song in our book, number 487. It says, when my Savior talks with me, all the burdens once so heavy, light and easy seem to be. And remember the element of what we're talking about this morning. Are you carrying on a conversation? We're not talking about just saying, hey, Lord, saw you there, moving on. Hey, Lord, I wonder where you are, moving on. Are you carrying on that conversation with the Lord? Are you talking with him? This is where our burdens get lifted. This is where the Lord takes them. This is where our questions get answered. All the burdens once so heavy, light and easy seem to be. In my soul is heaven's sunshine when my Savior talks with me. Should my courage sometimes falter, still by faith his power I see. In my heart his words I'm hiding when my Savior talks with me. Are they on a shelf? Are they right here? Where are the words of the Lord, the things he's done for you? Are you treasuring them? Are you pursuing them? Be assured the Lord will be there and reveal himself to you if that's what you're doing. In my soul is peace and gladness. Through his boundless grace I see. Not a friend seems half so precious when my Savior talks to me. Not one promise has he broken. Faithful to his trust is he. Joy is mine beyond all measure when my Savior talks with me. In my heart a song is ringing. Earth like heaven seems to be. Life new joy to me is bringing when my Savior talks with me. Mary wasn't having a whole lot of joy until her eyes were opened. Even as she spoke with Jesus and she didn't realize it yet. The those people, they had questions. There came a moment where their eyes were open. They realized this was the Lord, and he was answering our questions. You know, also, if we think about... let's read this. Remember the words that Jesus stood up and read when he said, "These day are these things revealed unto you." Isaiah 61 and 1. Here are the words that Jesus read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." You know, these are the things the Lord can do for you. Keep talking to him. Don't stop talking to him. Don't put him on a shelf. Just keep walking with him. And the Lord can do all these things for you. You pray for me.